Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. We're reaching you live from our audiovisual studios here on Etimiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. It's a pleasure to know that you are there. For some weeks now, we have been featuring candidates in the forthcoming general elections and would continue today as well. Today we are talking to Prince Adewale Adebayo, the presidential candidate of the Social Democratic Party. He joins us via Zoom this morning, so you can watch live wherever you are. You can watch, and from there we can have a very robust conversation on our track political program this morning. Okay, now let me quickly say this: that you can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. If you've got questions for Prince Adewale Adebayo, feel free to throw your questions in via our live stream. You can also drop your questions for him on our website, nigeriainfo.fm. That is our website, nigeriainfo.fm. Let me know if you got questions for him, or our WhatsApp number, which is of course 0809 597 5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809 597 5805 on WhatsApp. I would release the telephone lines in a moment, so please stay with me here as soon as we are in some way into our conversation this morning. You get to know. Let me bring up my guest right away. Prince Adebayo, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
It's good to have
you
here.
Good morning, Nigeria.
Right. Let's get right to it. I'm going to start with the biggest issue. One of the biggest issues that we've got right now in the country, which is, of course, ASUU strike. Let me get your take on how you think that this could be or could have been managed, because right now ASUU has declared an indefinite strike action, shutting down the universities till God knows when. How do you think this could have been managed better?
Well, it could have been managed better by a responsible government ensuring that the funds made available for tertiary education is managed properly, by having those funds managed by the governing councils of the university. The demands of ASUU are basic, they are constitutional, and the government has no business dragging it. What I will do differently is that the Tertiary Education Trust Fund will be taken away from the Minister of Education,
okay,
and put in the hand of independent trustees, as it was the design when the decree was passed under General Abacha. The trust fund was not meant to be run by the government. It was meant to be run independently. The government's insistence on controlling education's money, which is money not coming from the government, coming from the Nigerian people, not even through tax, not through general taxation, through specific taxation for the purpose of education. That money I will remove from the Ministry of Education, and the tension between ASUU and the government will fizzle out immediately.
What would you say to some people who have said that, you know, apart from, you know, theft for money and the rest of them, there are bigger problems with funding, that the central government cannot entirely do this, even with theft fund? Like, how about the central government leaving or handing off education funding to regions or states, if you like, to handle? What's your position on that?
That would be wrong, because first, education is concurrent. Education is not only concurrent between local, state, and federal. Education is also concurrent between private and public. Education, you remember our education started with the missionaries. At that time, there was no government in Nigeria at all.
That's right.
So education is not something that anyone can say I'm not interested in. The federal government should run federal schools through the governing councils, who will run through the Senate. Being involved in something does not mean you have to control every bit of it. But the federal government should take responsibility as president of Nigeria I will be the visitor to all federal universities, and I'll have them funded. There is enough money to fund the universities and to give free, qualitative, and uninterrupted education to every Nigerian child who desires education at any level. We are a rich country. People should stop pretending that we are a poor country in terms of endowment.
Some would say, Prince Adebayo, some would say that you're only playing to the gallery. If we had enough money to fund education, why has ASUU been going on strike for the past 30 years?
Well, maybe those who gave me free education, were they playing to the gallery? It was not the same country. I got free education. My campaign is about justice. I got free education, including milk, including exercise books. So I don't have any moral justification when the country is making more money now than before to say that those who are coming behind me
should not have free education.
Yeah, and remember, I did not need the free education. I come from a background where I can afford to pay, but I still got it. So what of those who are from background that they need it? I got the best education at any level you can get. The maximum money ever asked of me when I was at the University of Ife at OAU was 90 naira, which we were making fun of the school because we wouldn't even pay. And there was nothing they could do about it. So now, those who came before me, like my parents, had beddings, free food, holiday to Europe, and all of that. So scholarships. My uncle told me that when he got his scholarship in it, as a Nigerian student in England, he went straight and deposited for a house to show how much money the federal government sent to him. And he came back, there were five jobs looking for him. So I'm not thinking that a generation that enjoy all of this want to have houses in Dubai, want to be enjoying themselves with 1,000 houses in Nigeria, holiday in Europe and everything, and still say to Nigerian people that we cannot afford free education. So I don't think that's fair.
Okay.
It's not about gallery.
Okay.
The numbers are there. If the amount, how much money is ASUU looking for? Maybe 1 trillion, thereabout.
That's right.
How much is that? You are spending 6 trillion sharing among those who say they are doing fake subsidy. They are sharing 6 trillion. The money that they have stolen from defense spending is over 9 trillion. The Accountant General of the Federation alone, as an individual, this was a person who was arguing with ASUU, saying ASUU needed to come under the IPPIS.
Right.
He alone stole 109 billion. One person stole 10% of what ASUU is asking for. One person. So you could imagine why he was on the side of the people saying there was no money. He was saying no money at the time he was taking 109 billion. So anyone who tells you that there's no money in government is your number one enemy. I can tell you that.
Mr. Adebayo, thank you for bringing that out. Let's go to the statement that you made at the MBA conference. You remember, Abi?
I made many statements, and I remember all of them.
About the crude theft situation that Nigeria is currently facing, 400,000 barrels per day. Let me play that particular statement that you made. Then we'll pick it up from there. Let's take a listen to it, and then we'll pick it up from there.
5 months ago, I began a solo job that 80% of all stolen. I did an investigation.
Okay, so here we go now.
5 months ago, I began a solo shout that 80% of our crude oil was being stolen. I did an investigation. Nobody was listening, but I kept talking about it until after 4 months, the government said it's only 75%. What they have not told you is who is stealing it. And it's not stolen by militants or bandits. They cannot make that investment. It is being stolen by the government. And it's a fact I can make anywhere. And there are two ways in which the government is stealing it. There has always been this opaque part of non-OPEC oil, which people used to sell. But there's a second part, which is that people in government have decided that they will sell the oil offshore and the money will never get to Nigeria.
Ms. Adebayo, these are weighty allegations. Do you have proof to back this up?
These are weighty crimes. And there are witnesses. I'm just mentioning it. Anybody who is running for president who doesn't know this fact is automatically disqualified. You can never make success out of them. It's like having an elephant in the room, and you bring all the presidential candidates into the room, and only I can say I'm seeing the elephant. Are the others blind? So it's obvious. Nigerian crude is being stolen. Majority is stolen. And I've been shouting about this. And this is the reason, the major reason why there is fluctuation in the currency, why all the other oil-bearing nations, oil-producing nations, are having their currency getting stronger, and we are not getting stronger. Russia, which is the cause of the whole war, as we speak to you today, the Russian ruble is stronger than before the war started.
That's right.
The Russian economy has more money now than when the war started.
Right.
We are the only one left behind. And it is not because the government doesn't know. The government is part of the problem. Remember that when I started talking about it, they were quiet. Then after some months, they said 75%. Now the chief of naval staff came out yesterday on a TV show and said that I was exaggerating, that there was oil theft, but that the 80% I'm talking about includes other losses. What do you mean by other losses? If you go to a place and steal crude oil, there will be a few spills because you are a thief in a hurry to run away. But not only that, neighboring countries are catching vessels. Do you know how big the Nigerian Navy is? Nigerian Navy is 45 times as large as the Navy of Sao Tome and Principe. It's about 60 times larger than the Navy of other countries. In fact, the Navy of Cameroon, which is geographically larger than Nigeria, is less than one quarter of Nigerian Navy. These countries are catching vessels, lifting millions of barrels from Nigeria, and they are making money out of catching them, because under the law of the sea, if I catch you illegally in my waters, international waters, and I confiscate you, I own what you have. So not only are they stealing us blind and our Navy is looking, and our government is denying or prevaricating, the neighboring countries now have got some people assisting them in catching these vessels. Now, what I need to let you know, the way you see my face and hear my voice, so if I am missing, my family will know me. That is how Nigerian crude is. It's an exquisitely sweet crude that any catalytic cracking system of any refinery in the world, once you put a drop of Nigerian crude, it will tell you exactly, this is Forcados crude, this is Quaibo crude, it will tell you where the crude comes from, including the very ground from which you got the crude. So there's no way all those vessels going to Holland, for example, and discharging our crude into the tank farms, or going to Brazil, or go to all over the world, they know that the crude is coming from Nigeria. These ships are feasible. There's no way you can move a ship up to 1,000 leagues on the sea without insurance. Nobody will do it. So these vessels, the insurance companies know that they're coming to Nigeria. The ballast registers how much they are carrying. The port of discharge knows that they have to inspect them before they discharge. So there's nothing. You can't go to Antwerp and carry 500,000 barrels of crude and say you want to go there. The Dutch will not let you in. So everybody is in on this. And people in government are getting their cut. They are selling the country away. And anybody who is telling you other stories in presidential campaign, I carry my own shoes. I eat once a day. It's just wasting your time. It should tell you that the resources of the country, out of which you can take 200 million people out of poverty in 6 months, is being stolen, and either they are quiet or they are ignorant, but this is a fact. And if you don't deal with it, you will have other problems which they will now throw before
how,
you.
How do we begin to deal with it? Because right now, it's something that the country cannot even withstand. How do we begin to tackle this?
First, it costs nothing to know the truth and to accept the truth. We should first acknowledge that our government has betrayed us. They've sold us to international criminals and they are collecting their cut overseas. And these people who are saying Nigeria is broke are billionaires. So let us start lamentation on that. Let us start admitting it. And anybody who says he wants to be president, he wants to run for anything, let us start asking their views so that you know who is on your side and who is on the side of the enemy. That's number one. Number two, we start questioning our representative in the National Assembly. So that each time they come to you and say the country is broke, you say, how can you say we are broke? When 80% of our crude is being stolen, what are you doing about it? So you start making it an issue. You start asking journalists, who are asking presidential candidates questions. Why are you not asking about this question and knowing their position? Because now you can know on whose side they are and where their campaign money is coming from. Then you can start asking those who are in government. I'm happy that this has led to a conversation. And the Nigerian naval chief, who admitted that there was oil theft, he only said I was exaggerating. By admitting that there was oil theft and it's happening in the maritime setting, then he needs to ask the question, why are you still wearing the white uniform? Why are you still chief of naval staff? Are you calling for help? Are you calling the community for help? Right now, we can catch these vessels. They are feasible. As I'm talking to you now, they are stealing the crude. It's not that they are doing occasionally. As I'm talking to you right now, they are there stealing it. By the time we finish this program, Nigeria will be poorer. You and I will be poorer than we began when we started this discussion because they are stealing the crude now. So we can now start talking about it. Then when you see the governors of the oil-bearing states,
right,
who tell you that this and that, you start asking them, don't you know this? So this is the question. And you now know that anybody who cannot even discover this kind of thing, who cannot tell us, when everything we are doing pales into insignificance compared to the amount of money we are losing every day. So every child that is hungry on the street could become well-fed from tomorrow if we stop this thing. Every civil servant whose salary cannot take them home can actually have a better pay. Every road with a pothole where a newly wedded couple will be coming from their wedding reception, run into a pothole and die, can stop. That road can become macadamized, well-maintained at the road of Dubai, just by stopping this from happening. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. If I tell you what is happening in gas, then you will start to wonder whether we should not take the point that is a crime scene and we're not talking about it.
Prince, we're going to head out now for a quick break. When we return from this break, we'll touch on the gas situation. We'll touch on security as well, or insecurity if you like. Lagos, if you're still here, thank you for staying here. If you're just joining us, you're welcome as well. We just need to take a quick break. When we return, Prince Adebayo will still be here with us, the presidential candidate of the SDP. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Lagos, good morning to you once again. Thank you for tuning in if you're just joining us. Road to 2023. For today, we have Prince Adewale Adebayo, the standard bearer of the Social Democratic Party, SDP, in the 2023 general elections. Joins me via Zoom this morning. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. I am coming to take your questions for him this morning. In case you're watching on Facebook and on YouTube, please drop your comment on those two platforms and I would come to take them as soon as possible. Prince Adebayo, thank you again for joining us on the show today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's quickly talk about, because all of these things tied to the fact that they contribute in no small measure to the present economic situation that we found ourselves today. The oil theft, the gas that you're about to mention, insecurity, just mention them. I mean, it's just enormous. But quickly, let's talk about the gas situation that you said you'd like to speak to. Please go on.
Ask anyone who is in government. how much do we make from gas? The answer is silent. I've asked people, members of National Assembly, senators, House of Representative members, when they are planning the budget, medium-term expenditure framework, and all of the other procedures for public appropriation, I asked them, how much money do we make on gas? They don't have the answer. I ask people who are on the board of NNPC, I ask them, you are on the board of NNPC, how much do we make from gas? They don't know. I ask people in the Ministry of Finance, how much do we make from gas? They don't know. In some of our gas projects, we are on the 8th train. In some, I'm in the Delta State as we speak. I was going around the gas fields yesterday, and people were pointing to me around Uyeli, all those places. They are taking gas away. Nobody measures anything. Now, you will know that when you see a poor man on the street of Nigeria, we are already violating the law of God. Because in terms of economy, the largest economy in the world is the United States. But in the Niger Delta alone, we have more gas. The gas that we have is 300 times the size of the U.S. economy. If the U.S. had our, if they had to choose between their entire economy, you know how beautiful New York is, California is, Texas. If you have them to choose between that, all of that that they have achieved so far and our gas, they will take our gas. So should we have any poor person? The government said they want to borrow 11 trillion. That's how much we should make from gas in about 3 months or less. So what I'm letting Nigerians know is that the government is creating a fake economy, a poor economy for us, whereas all over the world, people are making a fortune from our resources. We are back to the days of Nana Olomu. We are back to the days of Jaja Fokpobo. We are back to the days where we are poor and people come from overseas to come and steal our resources. The only difference is that our government, the government of the day, the government we elected, and the political class, they come every election time, they throw up one new person or the other. The other time was Buhari, who is the cleanest man on earth. He came from heaven. And all of those things, they keep distracting us, but they are all working together. The political elite are working together to cover up these issues. So they will discuss, they will campaign on all issues, religion, age, educational qualification, certificate, but they will never mention this thing, that they are collecting money from international criminal gangs who are coming to take away our resources. And that the people of Nigeria are supposed to be living better than people who are in Dubai, UAE, people who are in Qatar, people who are in Saudi Arabia, all those places that our young people go to and take pictures and say, well, we have made it. I'm now in Dubai.
Right.
I have a six-month work visa. These people are supposed to come here, but they are taking our resources. There is no command and control center that tells you where our crude is being taken. When Shehu Shagari was Minister of Finance under Gawan, people don't remember that Shehu Shagari, who became our president for four years, 3 months, before then was a minister. He took over from Awolowo as Minister of Finance. He went to a flow station in Old River State, which is now Rivers and Bayelsa, and he saw them loading a ship, and he asked them, excuse me, how much is this ship taking? They said, we don't know. We just use the water and the ballast to measure. He said, no, no, no. You must go and put a flow station. And he made that exact order and brief head of state Gawan that we must put flow stations, flow meters on all our flow stations. As I speak to you, nobody has anything from the flow meters.
Oh, wow.
So we are being robbed blind. So what I'm letting you know is that whatever you see, Naira could be doing as well as 50 kobo to the dollar today, could be doing maybe 1 naira to the dollar today, 2 naira to the dollar today, if our income is allowed to be our income. You remember that there was a time in this country when there was an argument within the then governor of Central Bank and then Minister of Finance as to whether $20-something billion was trapped inside NNPC and why this money was not paid to the Federation account. Dr. Kojewala and Sanusi Lamido Sanusi had that argument for a long time. In the end, Lamido Sanusi was fired from the central bank. Now, the situation is worse now because even NNPC does not receive this money anymore. There are people in NNPC, of course, who receive their cut, but the NNPC, as our representative, does not receive this money. So don't be surprised why people are in a hurry to turn NNPC to a limited liability company.
You think it's a bad idea?
It's not only an irrelevant idea, it's a very silly idea. Because what you need to understand is that look at our counterparts all over the world.
Right.
Look at the Russians,
right.
Look at the Saudis, look at the Emiratis, look at the Qataris. What are they doing? What you should be doing, number one, is to have a command and control center to gather all your resources. Well, let Nigerians know, our leaders, or who are now our rulers, they are not leading us anywhere, know what they are doing in terms of the fact that they have a Nigeria that is for them, and the rest that is for the other people to die of diseases, to die of infant mortality, to die of maternal mortality, to die of kwashiorkor, they don't care. They believe that if they have houses in Dubai and they go to London to hold meetings in expensive hotels to determine who will be your president, that they are doing well. At the end of the day, they just come here to die after they have lived their life, their children's school overseas, everything is done that way.
Hmm.
They don't realize that the black man is a black man. And it doesn't matter whether you're head of state or anything. If you don't have a strong, viral country that people can come and apply to for visa to come and work, a country that has infrastructure, a country that has justice, that if you don't have it, you're just another black man being used by the international
community. Prince, let me talk to you about electricity situation. We seem to be going from bad to worse when it comes to electricity, from all areas of electricity, both generation, transmission, and distribution. How would you suppose an incoming government in 2023 approach this so as to power the economy of this country?
Just do on the national scale what I have done personally. In 2001, September, I remember, I was a guest of the National Council on Power. That's Oda Obasanjo's government. I was invited, I went there. The minister then is late now, Shegu Agagu was minister of state, is in the Senate now, is Danjuma Goje. He later became governor of Gombe State, and now he's in the Senate. He was minister of state. Dr. Ekerendu is a professor now, is alive. He was cabinet secretary. Unfortunately, Dr. Mark Oju, MD of NEPA, is late now. Now, I went there. Lee Elumoke was a special presidential advisor on power, and Dr. Shomolu, Engineer Shomolu, all of them were there. And I told them that what you are doing is procurement. It doesn't mean that you are going to get electricity. The greatest mistake where we have made, and I'm going to get away from, is this National Integrated Power Project. Doesn't make any sense. You can only use that for emergency power. Your supply of power should be variegated and should be localized. So there is no reason why Lagos needs to tap power from an integrated system when Lagos has lagoons and all of that. And Lagos can actually have floating barges supplying Lagos and Ogun State. And Ondo State can have the same at Omotosho and all those places at Agbabu. When Edo can have that, and then Delta, of course, has its own gas, can have floating barges full of thermal stations. In 24 months, you can generate up to 32,000 megawatts if you stop stealing your own money. So you have the gas in the vicinity, all the way to Cross River. So all of that will end that. Then one of the greatest achievements, quote and unquote, of Obasanjo government was rural electrification. To carry electricity to various villages all over the country. And when Dr. Ekerendu did his 80th birthday, I gave a speech there when I called him the author of rural electrification, because they did a lot of that. But the mistake they made is that they didn't follow India, they didn't follow China, Indonesia. You don't do rural electrification through wiring. You do rural electrification through solar panels, because the average home in the rural area uses about 7 kVA max. 3 kVA, they are okay. After, the average household in our villages can be powered by better powered by neighbor generator. So for that reason, 11, 12, 15 solar panels on their roof is all that they need. And you can deploy all of that in 6 months, 9 months, 18 months. So you can actually give electricity to people where they need it. And look at me, 15 years ago, I took my law firm out of the National Power Project. I started using solar. I've not regretted it. I personally have generated 1.4 megawatt industrial scale for myself through solar only. So if you go to any of my establishments, I've trained over 2,000 young people on solar. People who were mechanics, vulcanizers, some of them are IDU people. I took them into it. Some of them are victims of ASUU strike. Right now, I'm training them on printing technology, also rely on the same solar system. So the government is just grossly incompetent. And on top of it, I dare say, I hope I'm not using a strong language, very callous and wicked. Because all of these long-term projects they are talking about, other countries have used shorter time frame to achieve them.
Right.
They are not as rich as we are aware. Their people are not as smart as we are. Even this government, when I couldn't wait, this government, I met with them. I said, listen, I can triple your power generation for you in 1 year. I brought ideas of using floating solar so that any community, even in the north, Sokoto River, all those places, where you have water surfaces, you can put solar panel on the water. It won't cost the government any amount of money. These companies have done it in Ivory Coast, they've done it in many places. They can come to your country at zero cost to the government, at zero cost to anyone. They put these floating solars all over and they start generating electricity. Well, let me let you know, the problem facing us in terms of security, in terms of energy, is that our people like to award contracts. People in government fight day and night to enter government in order to control big budget. And if you are able to solve problems without them being able to award big contracts, they are not going to listen to you. That is the problem.
Indeed.
We can solve our problems. The same thing with port management. I can bring to Nigeria 24 ports between Badagry and Rio de Rey in a Cross River State with zero money from the government.
Oh.
The same thing with fishing company, we're going shrimps. Same thing with people who are coming to develop ginger. Nigerian government people want to be able to award contracts. That is why they are in government. They are not interested in development.
Prince, let's take one question because of our time. Apparently, we cannot exhaust all of the things that we have on the table to discuss with you. And also, apparently, 1 hour is ridiculously short speaking with you on some of these issues. But let's just take one or two questions for you. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71904, the ladies. So please make your questions short and straight to the point so Prince can attend to your question. Good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Godwin.
Yes, please.
Good morning, sir. You mentioned about gas.
Yes, sir.
You get to Uele. Uele is not far from my own place. There's a place they call Benekuku in Indopua East. You have the biggest gas plant in West Africa there. Do you know how much federal government is making from that gas flaring? They are collecting from this gas.
Do you have a question? Company. Do you have a
Who's
question?
Supposed to fix? Hello?
Do you have a question?
No. What I'm saying to Prince, is that, because like Bulumba said, the people who are supposed to do this, I don't think they are listening to him.
Okay, thank you. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hi, Sheriff. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, Jonathan, sir.
Let's talk.
I want to appreciate your guest's talking points and their facts, especially because there was a headline this morning that was saying you are broke. And I was about to ask the same question. What am the one stealing those codes or busting the pipeline? Just like I said yesterday in the airport issue too. A layman, an ordinary man, will not do things like that. It's the people that are in power, they know about it. And we here will be suffering. That is very unfair. Thank you, morning, Sheriff.
You too, Jonathan. I need questions. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Morning to you.
Speaker, I want to know from your guest, see, the kind of things we hear is heartbreaking. But the thing is, they are all going out there to contest. But in the situation where they don't get to win, is there a way to bring this mind, this selfless Nigerians, these people that have this power, to bring them together so that something, because I don't believe on that day of election, if nothing happens, then you go back to sleep, form a synergy, you continue to galvanize, you continue to sustain this information, because information is key.
That's
when
right.
people are properly informed, it does not matter who is lobbying, it does not matter who is spending dollars to, you know, confuse people and collect votes, but over time, the truth will be made manifest, and honestly, it will overrun false, you know, lies and all of that. Please, sir, can the things you say be sustained so that we can have a group, a people that have this fact? Even if they keep one person, they will not kill everybody. So that we will continue.
Thank you.
I have hope in this country, and I know that the problem we have is in the hands of the ruling class. It does not matter the region where they are. So anybody should not say it's Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo. All of them together are in Abuja, wrecking this nation, and it's a question of time. It will be brought to book, because Nigeria will change, will be great, and will survive.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Prince, I guess, let me paraphrase. Would you be open to working with, should you not win in 2023? I wish you best of luck, by the way. Would you be open to working with anybody that gets that seat in Aso-Rock?
I won't work with anybody who doesn't know the truth, who doesn't want to do the truth. First, my duty is to make sure that we win. Nigerian people can win. If we keep telling this story, keep being truthful, keep having courage, keep looking for character, we will win the election. There's no politician that can force your thumb to his logo of his party.
That's
it's
right.
a decision you have to make.
That's right.
I don't want Nigerian people to say they are against us, oh, they can defeat us. Nobody can defeat anyone, except you defeat yourself. Don't get distracted. The political class have a way of bringing star boys. Whose job is to come and cover up for their sins. They do it every time. They brought Buhari like that. They say, oh, the best. They will be hiding and hiding. Then when the person comes to the government, you start to regret it. Start confronting candidates now with these issues. See and hear what they say about it. See and see those who are surrounding them. But on election day, it's not hard for you to make up your mind and elect the government of your choice. But for me...
Sometimes I don't understand how these machines work. I still had a couple time left before it jumped in on us, myself and Prince Adewale Adebayo. Well, we've been speaking with him. I've had to let him go because of the time left. And I'm getting requests to bring him back on. But that won't be fair on other candidates, okay? So let's hope that when the campaign starts proper, he will be able to join us then. But for now, we have to put a hold on that interview. Many thanks to him, the Social Democratic Party presidential candidate, Prince Adewale Adebayo. I'm Sheriff Quadri.